I'm just going to jump straight in with the word today because I don't know about you, but the word of God excites me. The word of God gives me hope. The word of God gives me focus. The word of God gives me everything I need to traverse life's ups and downs. Because who knows, life has some ups and downs, isn't it? I know we live in beautiful hilly Surrey, but life itself will give us plenty of ups and downs, amen. And it's something that the Bible equips us to deal with. And I've sort of been in and out of the pulpit a little bit the last couple of months, so that maybe the flow of what I've got to say to you might be lost in obviously us having an awesome conference, which was awesome, wasn't it? It was awesome. It was great to have Greg Fritz here. By the way, I was speaking with Greg Fritz yesterday about a very important subject, and it was about where the origins of why we drive on the left came from. And the origins of that are historically founded. It's the truth, even in America land. But the reason we go on the left is because men on horseback used to wear their swords generally on the right. So they would mount their horses from the left. And they would travel on the left-hand side of the highways so that as they approached anyone and they passed, the side they passed was the side they had their weapon on. So when cowboys started in America land, founded by the English, they did the same thing. Most cowboys wore their gun on the right-hand side, unless they were, in a movie and then they had one on both sides, but most had the gun on the right-hand side and they got up on their horse on the left. And then there were some other scientific facts as well that go along with that. For instance, the brain works, the male brain works, is more dominant on a certain side that makes it more betterer. Hang on, I need to sit on the right-hand side, don't I? It makes it much more salubrious for one when traversing down a highway to be sitting on the right-hand side of the car, not the left. And also, apparently, when you put your head over your shoulder, the male brain works is still completely compos mentis if it's turned over the left shoulder. I don't know. I was amazed by this stuff. Apparently, it's different for women. I'll just leave that there. Apparently, when a lady turns her head over her shoulder for reversing, they haven't got a clue what's going on. It's scientific. It's scientific. I'm just trying to get science. You can't knock the science. So anyway, and so. So we've got history and we've got science, we've got all of these things backing up the reason why we drive on the correct side of the road and have the steering wheel on the right side of the car. It's on the right side for a reason, because it's just right. And I said this, I know Greg's not here, but he'll watch. And I said this to him, and he said, "Yeah, but we drive on the right side." I said, "What came first, the car or the road to put it on?" The car was obviously done first, and then they worked out the road thing based on the way that horses and carts used to go. I said, "And at some point in America, you just threw away all the science, and you threw away common sense, and you just swapped everything around. So you'll be pleased to know I've set him straight." Praise God. But yeah, we have fun. It's nice to have some fun, isn't it, with our guests? It's nice to be able to have fun with people, I think. I think that's why people that come to Tree of Life that are prepared to have a bit of fun just fit in right, don't they? Because we don't mean anything by it, although we do really mean everything by it. But anyway, if you remember rightly, I was on a bit of a theme about the plan, about God's plan being the plan, like the God knows the plans that He has for us, plans to prosper us and not harm us. And I've been very much embroiled in this whole theme of God's plan. And once we've got it settled in our hearts, and in our minds that we are part of a plan that is already playing out. The plan is already moving forward. We just need to work within it. And it is specific, like someone said this morning about timing. You know, God's timing is specific. Jesus didn't just coincidentally happen to be sacrificed at Passover. It was his whole life. All those 33 years, every single bit of it brought him to that point at that time for that specific reason. That's the intricacy of the plan that God has for our lives. He planned you being here today. You being here today is part of the plan. And if you being here today is part of the plan, then there must be something good. There must be something good. There must be something that God wants to give you today. Otherwise, you wouldn't be here today. Are you seeing what I'm saying? You know, not saying that we're being moved around like that. You know, people think about God moves us around like chess pieces on a chessboard. It's not like that. It's not like we've got no free will. We don't have a choice whether to be a part of God's plan or not. There are people that didn't come to church today, but it was part of the plan for them to be in church today. And so they would have missed out on that part in the plan. But that's not to say that God's plan is then removed. The plan will always remain the plan, and he will get that person somehow, some way. I think I said through the GPS system, God's planning system, to get that person to that point where they can receive the thing that God wants to give them. What God has for you is important. It was planned for you, and he wants to give it to you. He wants you to have everything that he has planned for you. And last time, like I say, I spoke about planning ahead. We can plan ahead. We can plan ahead doing things the right way by doing things God's way. And when God made his plan, the Holy Spirit was part of the plan right from the beginning. The Holy Spirit was planned in the beginning, the middle, and the end. The Holy Spirit is the constant. He will never leave us and never forsake us. So if we can plan ahead, listen to me here. If we can plan ahead, our planning ahead should be planning for success. We don't plan to fail. We should never be thinking failure. We should constantly be planning for success, constantly pushing forward with the thought process that we will succeed. Because have you noticed that God seems to get all of the bad press? He gets all the bad press. When things go wrong in the world, when anything negative happens, it's often blamed on God. And strangely enough, by Christians. People that claim to believe in God, there will be people in churches saying, you know, God sent that earthquake. God sent that tsunami. God made that volcano go. You know, all these people that have decided that it's God who's dishing out the punishment or the judgment on people. There's that sort of idea that that's who God is, isn't it? And many times it is without a second thought. Yeah, that thing happened because God did it. And we've seen it in the press. You'll hear it in the press. And it still goes on today with insurance on boats. Force de jure is still a covenant for insurance on boats, where you're not covered if there's an act of God. So if your boat sinks, oh, you're not covered for that. That was an act of God. No, it wasn't. It wasn't an act of God. God doesn't go around going, oh, just sink that one. Them sailors were doing Ouija boards, so we're going to sink that way. It's utter nonsense, don't you agree? But you see how it's historically, it's expected that God is going to be the one who's punishing people. He's the instigator of all the bad things. And what I see this is, and it runs straight off the back of what Jacqueline just said, which is also exciting because obviously there's a reason for this message being what it is today, and Jacqueline didn't know what it was. But I see it as a reflection of the attitude towards God, which has been created through misconception, which has been spread by the deceived and the manipulated men and women of religion. Because where else would this information about God be coming from? It has to come from a source that people think is the source of knowledge. about who God is. And generally it has been from the church. As we know, I don't know if you do know, but the Church of England the Church of England have decided this week that they are no longer going to be called the Church. The Church, because it's a bit outdated and people have got a misconception of what church means. So the Church of England are now not going to be called the Church of England anymore. Can anyone guess what the name might be? I expect we can just make one up for them, as they are not responsible for their own actions, it seems. You know, maybe they could just be the Jolly Boys Golden Club of reading a book. I don't know. I don't know. Yeah, because soon they're going to drop the fact that it's called the Bible. This is the problem. These are the people who are claiming to know who God is. And these are the people that people have been listening to, because they claim that they know who he really is. I question this. I question. Don't. By the way, the Bible says don't be afraid and don't be dismayed, right? So don't be dismayed. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice, because the quicker these charlatans and liars are removed from being the ones that people turn to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ, the better off the world is going to be. Because it's only through knowing the truth that anyone is set free. And the truth of the gospel can never be cut down by man's ideas of how things should be done. We can't do anything to it, because it's God inspired. So long as we at Tree of Life Church remain preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ, the truth, the world is going to be okay. Praise God. You being here is like, I have things that are milling around in my spirit, and I know for a fact that we are the lifeboat. We are the lifeboat for this nation, and people are going to be coming to Tree of Life Church. So be prepared and get here early and get a seat, because one day you'll come and go, oh dear, there's no seats. Praise God. Standing room only. Goodness gracious me. But I don't believe that these people know God. I don't believe that they know God. And I believe that everyone needs to question their own thinking when it comes to our thoughts about where God is, when things are evidently the opposite of good. Because this is when people question God, isn't it? When everything's going fine, people don't question who God is, where he is, what he's doing. It's when things go bad, seemingly, that people start to question who is God, where is God. Right? And I've had thoughts in my past. I think I mentioned last time, I said, you know, something happens and you go, why? Why did that happen? You know, and I'm sure there are a lot of people, maybe some of you in here, who have actually asked God, why did this happen, God? Often there's a little caveat at the end of it as well. Why did this happen to me, God? Like you're special or something. Praise God. And yet, when we ourselves apply any number of scriptures or even examples of the lives of any believer in scripture, we see that no one is exempt from bad news. It's a fallen world. By the way, this is a jolly message. But none of us are exempt from bad news. But like I said the last time, God put everything in place ahead of time. And Jesus said it himself, I told you these things so that when this thing happens, you'll be prepared. And when things happened, they said, oh, this is what the Lord said would happen. You see, the plan has been shown to us already through everything that Jesus said to us already. Again, like Ashley was saying, stuff that's happened in the past has already shown us what's going to happen in the future. Because, you know, applying biblical principles like sowing and reaping, seed, time, harvest, if you've sown, you know, according to Scripture, that the end result is a harvest. The time bit in between is immaterial. It's of no consequence. It will always be the right time. It will always be the right time. You know that Noah building that ark took time. Time. I mean, we were thinking about it. We've spoken about it before. You know, people had never even seen a boat. Noah had never seen a boat. He was landlocked where he was. They didn't know what a boat was. There were no boats. Imagine that. What are you doing? Building a boat. What's a boat? That's just mad. And time. Building a boat. And all of a sudden, woohoo, I'm a sailor. Do you know what I mean? So you sow your seed, have faith, and reap your harvest. It's what the Bible says. Everything is preeminent. It's planned in advance. Everything is planned in advance. God put everything in place ahead of time. He said he's made provision for us. He has provided everything that we'll need. So the provision is already in place. He told us this clearly before any of it had happened, so that we would believe that he's got us covered. And if we believe he's got us covered, we should be capable and able to plan for success. The works of my hands are blessed. Everything I turn my hands to is blessed. So when you know that, you can plan for success. There's successful people in here. There's successful people in here. There's successful people in here. It'll get there eventually. This room is full of successful people because your success has already been planned. All we need to do is move into it. Have the mindset that we are it. And it will become what the Word said it will become. You know, he put the Holy Spirit front and center in his plan. Like I just said, the Holy Spirit was there at the beginning, right? He was there right at the beginning. He knows what the plan is. Front and center in the plan. In his plan for us. So his way of planning is our example of planning ahead. We have to put God in the plan from the beginning. Your first point of call, your first point of reference, the first thing that you write down on paper when you're doing a business plan is, thank you, Father. Thank you, Father, that the works of my hands are blessed. We don't come up with a business plan and then ask God to bless it. We put God first. We put the Holy Spirit first. And I'll tell you what else as well. We put him in the middle throughout it. His grace, his mercy should be our focus on every decision we make, on any work decision we make, any home decision we make. And regardless of what you think my attire looks like, you can blame the Holy Spirit. Because I take it down to, what shall I wear? What shall I wear today, Lord? I'm always dressed appropriately, you'll be pleased to know. Appropriately and accordingly. Hallelujah. For my age. Apparently I have to dress age appropriate these days. No skinny jeans for this man. Praise God. Hallelujah. But we do what we do being led by the Spirit of God. And this is important for us, being led by the Spirit of God, knowing that even when trouble comes, because as we know, it's guaranteed, knowing that he is with us. Being sure and steadfast on that fact. And so even when we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, we don't fear any evil at all, because his word, which is his power, has already gone before us. Because we're all going to walk through a valley of the shadow of death. All of us. And this is just the shadow of whatever it is that's coming along telling you that you're not going to succeed. Telling you that things look bad. Telling you that things are changing for the worse. Things can't change for the worse for you. Because there's a plan. You might think, but things are terrible. And I always hearken back to Paul and Silas, thrown in that prison cell. You might go, well, their situation got worse. No, their location got worse. But their situation was they could just turn to the Lord and worship him. And the situation changed. Are you getting what I'm saying? Your situation is not based on your location at all. Your situation is, I'm blessed, I'm successful. I'm successful. There's a plan for me. There's success on the other side of this. Because the power of God has already gone before me. Because he knows the plans, which means the plans have already been done. They've gone before you. Amen? You know, when we abide in him, in his word abides in us, right? We say it. And it's his word that gives us life. And we who are alive in Christ bear much fruit. It's what the Bible says, doesn't it? We are alive in Christ. Hello? Are you alive in Christ? Well, according to the plan, you bear much fruit. You will be fruitful in all of your doings. I like the idea of being fruitful in all of my doings. Thank you, Jesus. His word is what saved us, right? His word is what heals us. His word is what guides us. So we must understand his loving kindness is a thread that runs right the way through it. Every part of your life from beginning to the end. From the beginning to the end. The church age that we're in right now, this is the last one before Jesus comes back. This is the last one. We are in the end times according to the written plan. And the written plan is never going to change, is it? Which means that the plan for you is never going to change. The plan for the church is never going to change. You're successful. Hallelujah. You're successful. These are exciting times. You can ask Jacqueline, like, there's all this doom and gloom going on. And what do I say? I'm excited. I'm excited. I'm excited. The darker it gets, the brighter we shine. The darker it gets, the closer we get to seeing Jesus. Hallelujah. We can't lose. We can't lose. Whatever happens one way or another, we've got an assured conclusion, an expected end. Like Ashley, see, this is why I'm happy. It's not a trick. I haven't got a secret box of joy. I've got a book that's open to all of us that fills me with joy. Because I understand there's a plan and I know that we're in it. Regardless of what things look like. Hallelujah. So I think that we should all be of the same mindset that the best is yet to come daily. His mercies are new every day. We need to build ourselves up on our most holy faith daily, because daily we are under attack. But this doesn't mean that, this isn't like, oh, suppose I better build myself up. Oh, it's Wednesday. I'm going to build myself up for another Wednesday. No, it becomes just the constant. You wake up in the morning and you're joyful. You wake up in the morning, you're expectant. Regardless of what happens, what they say on the news, whatever goes on, we can rejoice at all times and be giving thanks to God at all times, knowing that we are not an accident. And if trouble comes, it's not a reflection on you. If someone comes and vomits on your eiderdown, it's not a reflection of you. If something goes wrong, it's not a reflection of you. Never. And don't let anyone else speak into your life and tell you that you are less than blessed, successful, loved. No one else has the right to invest into your thought process of who you are. No one. No one can tell you who you are or what they expect you're going to be. Because God himself has made a plan for you. And it's a good one. Hallelujah. And it's a plan for success. God is good. Amen? God is good. So how about this for a cheeky little number? If God is good, then we weren't actually created for anything negative. negative isn't at home with who we are. It's like opposing magnets. The positivity inside you should push away anything negative. Constantly push away any negative. Oh, you're this, that, now. It doesn't matter. I'm off. Bye. Anything that comes along, you're not going to make it. You're a liar. Bye. You're not good enough. Oh, you're so wrong. Bye. It's our choice. We're created to have good success. We're created to have good success. God doesn't create any of us to fail. We're created to have good success. But here's the thing. It's not automatic. It's not automatic. Each one of us have to accept that Jesus is our Lord and Saviour first. Praise the Lord. And if you haven't done that, speak with me afterwards. And we'll get that deal done in Jesus' name. You know, we had to make a but that wasn't automatic either, was it? We had to make a choice to choose life. We had to do it on purpose. It was a conscious decision. It wasn't automatic. You just didn't go, oh, I think I'm a Christian. It didn't happen like that, did it? Look at that. I do stunts now and everything. Praise God. And here's the thing. Each one of us who have received Jesus Christ as our Lord and Saviour, we have been saved to the exact same measure as each other. Right? None of us are any more saved than anyone else. None of us just scraped by the skin of our teeth. Which is another one of those sayings that just fell out of my face. What does that even mean? My teeth haven't got skin on them. Isn't that a weird one? Anyway. We say things though, don't we? Just like automatic, they're part of your vocabulary. But now I'm older and I'm thinking, well, what is a hill of beans? When people say it doesn't amount to a whole hill of beans, what does that even mean? I don't know. Skin of your teeth. Anyway, yeah, I'll ask an American. They make all this nonsense up, don't they? Do anyone know what it is? You know, some of us in here might know a bit more scripture than anyone else. Like the Nakati children know more scripture than me. Praise God. You know, but that will be the only difference in our spirits. We're identical. All of us are identical and we know all things. Amen. So now, the way I see it, for us, our choice is just to plan for success and only for success. Plan for success. I'm going to ram this home today, purposing in your heart to first study the Word. Study the Word, understanding who Jesus truly is, understanding what that means for you, because He is the Word become flesh. He was the express image of God Himself. And when He walked around and said, I only do the things that God wants me to do, He was the representation of the heart of God. And He made friends and He loved people and He took care of all of their needs. That's how God looks at you. He loves you. He wants to be in a friend relationship with you. And He will provide and has provided all of your needs. Amen. But why should we look to the Word? Because the way I see it is because we want good success. Right? We want good success in every area of our lives. And that's God's plan for each of us as well. He wants us to have good success. And that's equally as well. We are all equally blessed to have the same good success. And it's like this is why He gave us His Word. His Word was given to all of us, right? Equally. And it's the same when we use the term, I give you my word, right? We say that, humans. Oh, I give you my word. It's a statement of fact. It's like you what you've said is the absolute truth. This is going to happen. I give you my word. It's a covenant. You've made a covenant with someone when you give them your word. God has given us His Word. He gave us Jesus, the Word become flesh anyway. You know, when I started going to church, I thought that all I was supposed to do was listen to the dude up the front tell me what God says. That's what I thought. I thought that being in a church, we all sat there looking beautiful like you do. And we just listened to the dude up the front and did exactly what he says, because they were the ones who understood God. They were the ones who were qualified. And I considered myself to not be as qualified as older Christians. I don't know if any of you felt the same, but that's just how I felt. I felt, well, you know, this is, I can't even speak. I can't say these people know everything. But when you actually read the word for yourself and you let the Holy Spirit teach you personally, remember, this is a personal journey. God wants to, Jesus wants to be in this friend relationship with you, right? So you can't let your mum or your dad or the pastor or the elders or anyone else cannot guide you in your personal relationship with God. We can guide you through our own experiences with God and through the Word of God, but your relationship with God is your relationship with God. He will always meet you where you're at. He will speak to you in a way that you will understand. And what happens when you read the word is that you discover that you're accepted. That was the difference for me. When I read it for myself and understood that Richard was accepted, it's like, right, I get it. I'm accepted. You're accepted. Individually. Not based on personal merit, but based on the fact that you are accepted into the beloved through the grace of God. And that's the simple fact of it. It's beautiful. It's beautiful when you understand that you've been made righteous. When you understand that all your sins have been forgiven, which, let me tell you, was a big deal for me. Well, all of them? Yeah. Yeah, all of them. Wow. That's when you discover that you're set free. And then you discover that you have full access to God through His Word. You have full access to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. His Word, it has been made easy for us all to find as well. When we make the choice, when we choose to go to the Word at all times, it's our choice. The same way that you choose life, the same way you chose Jesus, you have to choose to read the Word of God. And it's, you know, we've got a spare one going here if anyone needs a Bible. But praise God, the Bible is so available to everybody. It's available to everybody. But secondly, the thing we need to do is believe. Believe that it's true. Believe the true word of God. Believe, now here's the point. Believe that it is a true statement of fact. It is a covenant. He gave us His word. Whatever He said is going to happen. And everything He said is going to happen, is going to happen. But see, all of a sudden, just saying it, I've smiled. Everything God said is going to happen, is going to happen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise God. You know, we should always be looking to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith in every situation. And I've spoken before about when we're not recognizing that. It's like the warning signs on the dashboard. But you know, they're usually your thoughts. How you think. If you're having a dark thought, if you're thinking that, let's say, recently, I had someone in one of the other locations saying, "I don't think I need to go to church anymore." Well, that's not God. That's not God saying, "I don't think you should go to church anymore." That's the enemy. That's the other fella. And he'll say it just like that. "I don't think you should go to church anymore." And then that thought just permeates and goes, and you know, sadly, dude doesn't go to church anymore, which is sad, just because a thought came in. That should be a warning light. And I know he's not going to church. I mean, personally, I don't know anyone can not go to Tree of Life Church. You got to be as crazy as a bag of cats to not come to Tree of Life Church. Praise God. But what happens is with these thoughts is they generally lead to emotions, don't they? It's the thoughts tend to lead to emotions, and then what happens is our feelings become the fact. Feelings are not facts. They're feelings. That's why they have a completely different name. I feel like I shouldn't go there anymore. What's your feelings got to do with it? The fact of the matter is, God says, don't forsake the assembling of the saints. So, what have your feelings got to do with it? Look at this. Proverbs 23:7. As a man thinks in his heart, so is he. So the way you see yourself is important. The way you think about yourself is important. The way you see me is important. The way you see me is important. You know, look at Jesus. He couldn't do many mighty works in his hometown because of their unbelief in who he was. Because they looked at him just being the man, not the bringer of life, not the one bringing the word of God. You know, when I stand here in front of you today, you know, you all know me and I'm a very affable person. But me being me isn't a reflection on what the Word of God says. I'm just delivering it to you. You got to accept the delivery system. Praise God. You know, think yourself lucky it's me and not a donkey. Could be. But even more than that, the way we see God is important. There can be no doubt about him, about his plan and his complete love for us. His complete love for us. God is never wrathful with you. All his wrath was poured out on Jesus, right? And doubting who he is, doubting that he's a loving God, is the biggest pitfall to the human race. It is. It's the biggest stumbling block, doubting, because it was doubting God and his plan which made Eve listen to the devil, right? And then subsequently Adam listening to Eve. It was doubting God and his plan that made Judas betray Jesus. And it's the same doubt, it's the same spirit of doubt that causes people to not believe in the goodness of God and his plan today. Their confidence isn't in God anymore because they've been distracted by how things look. They have generated an emotional response, and that has clouded their judgment and made them stop looking at God as being merciful and almighty. That's just how it works. Their confidence isn't in God anymore, so how can anyone like that, who has no confidence in God, make any plans for a good future without it? I mean, I've lived on both sides of the fence. I didn't get born again until I was 30, so I spent, 3 decades being an idiot. No offence to all the other idiots who haven't accepted Jesus Christ as their Lord and Saviour as yet. Praise God. But I genuinely, when I look at it now, I understand how people get by, but how to live life without the knowledge of God, with what goes on in the world, with what goes on in life, it just, wow, that's a tough, tough, tough life. People say Christianity's tough. Well, try it without Jesus. Try life without Jesus. Look at this in Hebrews 13:6. So we can confidently say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can man do to me? Our confidence must be in the plan of the planner. It has to be. It is the plan of the planner. And the result of that is being fearless. If you are confident in who the person of God is and believe wholeheartedly that he is the one who's created the plan for your life, you can be fearless. You can be fearless. You can walk around without any fear of the future. None. We don't have to be fearful of the future. We don't have to be fearful of what's around the corner, because we've already been equipped to know that there's a plan for us. And we can deflect all the fiery arrows of all of the attacks with our faith, right? And you know, what can man do to you? I used to like what Brother Dave Duell used to say. He'd say, "Man, what can man do to you? They can't eat you." I like that. They can't eat you. Anything happens, the worst thing that can happen is, well, they can't eat you. Praise the Lord. I guess, well, it doesn't still go on anywhere in the world, does it? Do they still eat people anywhere? Now a Mongolia or something? Yeah, sorry all the outer Mongolians. They've probably got McDonald's now. They're like, people, we haven't eaten people for like 2,000 years, you weirdo. But people can lead you astray. People can definitely lead you astray. They can definitely convince you that there's an issue with God. They can convince you that God's plan isn't working, or that there isn't a planned outcome for you. And if you notice that whatever the world tries to tell you, it's always using bad news, bad reports. People always come at you with bad news, bad reports, to try and. This is why the news media is constantly pushing out bad news. Don't focus on the bad news. The only reason they're putting out the bad news is to distract people from the good news. The bad news is never the issue. The bad news is never the issue. This is a distraction of the devil to try and make people think that there is no good news. There's no good news. Well, I'm here to tell you, there is good news. Hallelujah. There's good news. And you know, I don't know about you, but sometimes I have people just giving me a bad attitude. People with bad attitudes. Some of them in the church. Not in here, obviously. Other places. Just giving me a bad attitude. And sometimes it makes you wonder whether it's worthwhile being a Christian life sometimes. Even people out in the world. You know, you're being nice, you're being loving, you're being lovely, and they're just horrible to you. You think, what's the point? I'm just going to be horrible back. But, you see, that's not our choice. That's not the way we go. We shouldn't let their attitudes affect our attitude. We should never change who we are. We should be forgiving people. We should be loving people. Even the ones who don't respond in love. The ones who question everything that you do. The ones who even talk bad things about you. Has anyone in here ever had someone talk bad about them? And you know it wasn't true, right? Because you're lovely, right? You're lovely, and they've spoken bad things about you. Well, forgive them, Lord. They don't know what they're doing. The only reason they're talking bad about you is because they don't know you. They don't know you, and they don't know who you know. That's the difference right there. But if we just lay aside right now any thoughts that we have to what other people think or say about us, or what they've ever said about us forever, and remember what God says about us, well, I believe what happens is we'll start remembering who we are. Just try this. I'm loved. I am loved. Say it like you mean it. I'm loved. I'm loved. I'm blessed. I have been made righteous. Hallelujah. How about this? I have an expected end. God has a good plan for me. Oh man, you've turned into like one of the, I don't know what they are, but those people that just repeat things without any gusto. What does gusto mean? There's another one. God has a good plan for me. Hallelujah. See, I don't know about you, but once that gets settled in your heart and it becomes your go-to retort to any situation that comes along, peace can prevail. You will have peace in a storm because you know that you're loved. You know that God's got a good plan for you. You know these things, but you've got to say it. Look here, this is John 15. It's where some of our declarations come from. Verse 5. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, He it is that bears much fruit, for apart from me you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away like a branch and withers, and the branches are gathered, thrown into the fire, and burned. That sounds a bit ominous, doesn't it? It does sound a bit bad, and I used to read it, and it sounded bad to me, and I know other people have interpreted this over the years, and surprise, surprise, it's talking about God, and they have this doom and gloom perspective about it. You know, like God's gonna just discard you if you don't do everything right, if we don't do all the works that we're supposed to do. This is this works mentality that was kind of drummed into us when we went to church. But think about it in the light of who we know God is. It changes it, and what we all just said about ourselves. When you read scripture and don't look at it from the perspective that God is out to get you, it changes it totally. You study it a bit closer, because the original King James Bible translation, the one that Jesus used, it's a little clearer to me. It's got just one additional word, but it makes all the difference. Look at this. Can we get that one up? The King James version of the same scripture. There you go. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered. And men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. Now, I studied it out, and it's a right and proper translation. And it just seems to make it make more sense to me as well. When we don't abide in God, when we don't stick to the plan, we become victims of the world. We become victims of the world. We become all dried up and stale. Our wood goes dry, if you like, and we become kindling for the ungodly people in this world, and they will just try and burn you. They will try and... The world is out to get you. This is why we need to stay attached to the vine and not become dried out and withered and useless in the world, because the world is going to burn. And they're looking for kindling. But that's not what's been planned for us. And I can prove that in the next verse. Verse 7. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you want and it will be done for you. So when we plan to stay in the word, we will see the full plan, which according to that, looks pretty good. It looks pretty good. When we plan ahead, putting the Holy Spirit first, which is what we should all be making a conscious decision to do, and we follow God's plan, we can plan for success. We can expect the best. We can be expectant. We can be joyful and hope for the best. Because Jesus just said, if you stick to the plan, whatever you ask in my name, it's going to get done. I got stuff that needs done. Praise God. I'm excited. They're going to get done. I got lists. I got dream wall lists. I've got things all over the place. I got plans. And guess what? They're all going to happen. All of them are going to happen. I drive along today. That's a nice field. I can't wait for us to get our field. That's going to be awesome. We're going to do this. We're going to do that. We're going to do the other. And have we got a field? No. Did God put a picture of a field in my head? Yes. Did God say get a field? Yes. So we're getting a field. Amen. Amen. And the first one I looked at was like 2 acres. I went and looked at it. It was a nice field. It wasn't enough. Then I looked at 4 acres. Nice field. It's not enough. I want acres. Because God's put a plan in my head. And that's not me, because that's just madness. That's just more work to do. I could just be relaxing. But no, more work, more things. Doing more when you know it's God's plan just gets you excited. It gets you excited. Yeah, I'll do more. I'll do more. I'll do more, Lord. I'm here. Send me. Show me the more and we'll get the more done. Praise God. You know, we're surrounded by the plan of God. The plan of God is happening right now. This isn't a pause. This isn't just the bit we got to get through. This is the bit of the plan that we're in. We're in the plan for the church, the end of times. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Look at this, Hebrews 12. Are you all okay for 5 more minutes? Okay. I just checked. No one was going, no. I've had enough. I've had enough. Hebrews 12. Listen, by the way, this is the word of God. Remember what I said. This isn't just me up here reading something for the sake of reading something. This is the word of God to us. To us. Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and sin. Remember that sin, by the way, that singular sin is basically unbelief, which is doubt. Right? So we need to lay aside doubt and unbelief, which clings so closely. And let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. They just had the Olympics on, didn't they? Didn't watch it. Load of old nonsense. But all the people, they're running on a track that was put there before they went running. Everything has been put in place. And we can run with endurance the race that is set before us. Is set before us. Looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him, we haven't got to wonder what's round the corner. Ooh, what's going to happen next? It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter, because we're the blessed ones. We're the blessed ones. And we've got joy set before us. Hallelujah. The joy that was set before him, he endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. Listen, Jesus, according to that, did the enduring. Jesus took the shame. He took the weight and all the sins so that we can run our race without any constraints. We can do that. We can choose to do that. And I'll tell you what, there he is right now, seated at the right hand of the Father, and he's going, woohoo! Go on, my son! Whew. I've made a way where there was no way. There's hurdles. Jump over them. Run through them. Don't matter. People throwing things at you from the stands. Keep running. Put your shield up. Bong, bong, bong. Or bing, bing, bing. Whatever size the thing is. Just keep running. Keep moving forward. Nothing on earth can stop us. They come here, cart us off in a meat wagon and take us to out of Mongolia and put us in a cave. It don't make no difference. It doesn't make any difference at all. Because we're the blessed ones with an expected end. And there's a plan. And God will always make a way for us. Always to see the light. Hallelujah. Look at this. Verse 3. The next verse. Consider him who endured from sinners and hostility against himself, so that you may not grow weary or faint-hearted. Now, I've said this before. I like to reverse that bit of scripture. You will grow weary or faint-hearted if you don't consider him. If you don't think on the plan, you will just get faint-hearted and you will get weary. And see, there it is again, that common thread throughout the word. And for sure, it's a common thread throughout all of our lives. We are in control of what we think about. We are. We're in control of what weights we carry. It's on us. You know, we can all become weary of the things of the world. But that's when temptations come along for us all to basically doubt God. When you have that weariness, it shows that you've chosen to ignore the plan. When you feel weighed down by the things in the world, you've forgotten the plan. It's as simple as that. You've just forgotten the plan. You've allowed a situation to overwhelm you. You've chosen to not look at the solution. You're not considering Him, and all you're doing is doubting God. But it's easy to deal with. We've all done it. Everyone's done it, so don't be condemned by it. You know, like I said a few weeks ago, I know it's a hard one to follow when I say that. You're simply doubting God, but it's not that big a deal. The end result is how you feel. But doubting God doesn't change the fact that there's a plan. Your doubt can't change exactly that He loves you. All you're doing is doing the opposite of what God said. You've not considered Him. And that's the truth, the way I see it, of where every single negative thought comes from. And that's a broad brushstroke, isn't it? Because there are myriads of situations. Millions and millions of situations. But the simple reaction that takes you off the path is doubting God. For us, it's doubting God. It's doubting the plan. It's choosing to forget that He's got it all covered. It's choosing to forget that there's a plan. And this is where we have to do something on purpose. It's not automatic. We have to do it. We have to choose success by planning for victory, even when everything's looking terrible. For us, there is never plan B. There's never plan B. It's always plan A, or plan G, as I like to say. God's plan. There is always plan G. Doesn't matter how things look, ever. We're loved, we're blessed, we're righteous, we're holy, we're filled with the fullness of His power, His joy, His all of His might, His wisdom. Man, I feel like I'm getting taller. Praise God. Hallelujah. Is anyone getting what I'm saying today? Have you got what I'm saying today? Is it going to make a difference? Thank you, Father. Let's pray. Father, thank you that your word makes a difference. Makes a difference to every situation. And Father, we turn back to faith. We turn back to the plan. We turn back to you. And I'm going to pray that there's going to be a swiftness in all of us. A swiftness. If you've ever seen like a swift or a house martin flying, they change direction really quick. Like, phew. I'm going to pray that there's a swiftness in us to change direction and look back to Jesus, to consider Him in all situations. And I'm declaring that we will see victory and we will see success in everything that we do according to God's word. In the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Praise God. Well, you are blessed. Hallelujah. You are blessed. Have an awesome week. And do something. Do something. You can't lose, or you can't win if you don't try. You know, you got to try something. Try something new this week. I don't know. Andrew was out riding his mountain bike. Had a great time, didn't you, Andrew? See? That's what we did. Just do something that you haven't done for a long time. Maybe something that makes you happy. Maybe something that you can just have fun. Go and row a boat. Get a boat out on the river. Go and row a boat or something. I don't know. Just do something different this week. Enjoy your life is probably what I'm trying to say. Enjoy your life, because it's an abundant life. Amen. Praise God. So see you next week. If any of you want me to stand in agreement for anything that's legal, ethical and biblical, let's do that. Praise God. Love you all. See you next week.